have to be brutally honest with each other about where this franchise is. That's all I'm saying. Sometimes you're at the end of your run.
Bucks fans, it is a new era of Bucks football here on the Ira Kaufman Podcast, 2023 edition. No more Byron Leftwich, no more season edition with the Sage of Tampa Bay Sports, who has cleared his plate, thankfully. He's been so busy with the Hall of Fame. Tuesday was his 7.5-hour stretch on a Zoom call to vote in or vote out 15 finalists for the Hall and others. This is the Ira Kaufman Podcast. I'm Steve Isbitz of JoeBucksFan.com. Lee DeKepper of JoeBucksFan is here. All the fun, Bill Curry Ford, Tampa's first family of Ford. That's who presents it. 0% financing, Ira. It's back, and it is strong. All the info is at BillCurryFord.com. 0% financing, new 2022 and 23 F-150s, Escapes, Ford Edge, Explorers. Sage himself drives a 2020 Ford Escape, Cherry Red. 0% financing, fight inflation over at Bill Curry Ford. And GM Sean Sullivan, he will help you personally. And on top of all that, he'll give you the Ira Kaufman discount. And he has other promotions going on. And if you need body work, whatever it might be, Bill Curry Ford is the place for you, a mile north of Raymond James Stadium on the east side, home of the nationwide lifetime warranty on new and used vehicles. You can look that up at BillCurryFord.com. C-U-R-R-I-E. That's the family name, BillCurryFord.com. Ira, are you driving the cherry red Ford Escape or that other jalopy you got? What are you driving these days?
Well, I grab the Escape every chance I get. I just need to tell our audience that I've taken 5 showers since Monday night. I'm trying to get the stench off from being anywhere near Raymond James Stadium. To me, the highlight was after the game when I got in the elevator, went downstairs and looked to my left, and there's Tommy Cruise, little Tommy Cruise. And I mean little. Lee, he's no bigger than me. I mean, this guy's 5'6", 5'7". I didn't get a chance to gab with him. And you know I could have, Lee. I could have engaged him. He was surrounded by 5 security men. Okay. They each weighed about 320, and he was getting in a black limousine. I didn't see a woman with him, which was a little surprising. But I caught him at the tail end. If I came down a minute earlier, I think he and I could have been talking about Bruce Springsteen or something like that. But I didn't get the chance. Well, I still can't get over that game. We haven't hashed it out. We don't want to spend too much time on it. But Lee, it reinforced everything that a lot of us feared, maybe some of us thought. This was a bad football team. And I don't want to hear about the division championships. Let's not be blinded by that. You're not going to have a division like this every year. In fact, most years you won't. With 0 of the 4 teams, 0, having a winning record. 0. That doesn't happen, but it happened. So I don't want to hear any crowing about a second consecutive division crown. Every other division in the NFC, they're 4 games back. They're an afterthought. Bad football team. A lot of bad football. And they didn't compete Monday night. They didn't look like they belonged on the same field. I tell you, I was sitting there the first couple of minutes. I turned to Lee and said, that Prescott looks nervous. He looks nervous. And I think he went 0 for 3, 3 and out on the first series. Took about, 14 seconds. And they're punting the ball. And he proceeded to hit 25 of the next 30 passes. I thought the Buck defense stunk. I thought they were terrible. The first 4 Dallas touchdown drives were all 80 yards or more. Nothing fluky about it, Lee. No short fields. It wasn't because of a turnover. The biggest play of the game, Lee, was Brady's pick. No question about it. It was 6-0 at that time. At least if he doesn't hit it, they get 3. And so it's 6-3. It's a game, at least. You could say it would have been a rout anyway. Probably. But it was the biggest play of the game. And, Lee, there's absolutely nobody else to pin that play on than Tom Brady. Nobody. That was Tom Brady. Tried to throw it in the stands. He was woefully short. Biggest play of the game. And Lee, we're going to spend the next 6 months talking about the quarterback situation for these Bucks. So let me be the first, Lee. I try to get ahead of you when I can, Mr. DeKemper. So I'm going to say it right now. Should Tom Brady like to return with the 2023 Buccaneers, if that's his inclination, I would say we're moving on, Tom. We're moving on. And I know that's going to set you off, DeKemper. So
well, you don't like money, obviously, Ira.
I don't like money. I like winning, Lee. I like winning. Brady's age showed up big time this year. He doesn't want to get hit. He never wanted to get hit. But this year was different. It actually hurt the offense. He got the ball out too quick. He didn't let plays develop. That's why they couldn't go downfield. That's why Mike Evans went 11 weeks without a touchdown. He's not mobile. He can't move in the pocket like he used to. Could he go to a team with an absolutely awesome offensive line and do well? Maybe. But that's not the case here in Tampa. They got to move on. They must move on.
You had an incompetent running the offense, plain and simple.
Let's not be naive. It's not all on Byron Left.
Ira, this is me. I'm a big coach's guy because I was a product of what good coaching could do. I have seen what bad coaching could do. And Leftwich was a beautiful example of horrendous coaching. Horrendous. And I would still take Brady over Kyle Trask any day of the week, all week long. You could name half the quarterbacks you want to. I will still pick Brady over Trey Lance, Jordan Love, Baker Mayfield, what other kind of slop you could name that might be available, Derek Carr. I'll still pick Brady over those guys. And Brady makes everybody money, including you, Ira.
Buck fans want to win titles, Lee. They want to win titles.
Are they going to win a title with Derek Carr?
You got to look at your roster. You got to look at where this franchise is in its arc. And I'm sorry to say, the run is over. The run is over. And I think the Glazers may come to that conclusion in the next week or two.
Until they see all the revenue they'll lose.
They're getting TV money with Tom Brady or without Tom Brady. That's anything.
Ira. You talk to the same guy I talk to that has access to what corporate advertisers are forking up. This is nonsense. Now, I'll meet you halfway. If you're suggesting the buck should collapse for Caleb, I'm on board with that. I'll drive that bandwagon. But that means Bowles has to go next offseason.
The guy hasn't coached a game in 2023, Lee. Let's not jump to conclusions.
If you're going to collapse for Caleb...
Just to be clear, Lee, for those bored to tears by college football or who are busy with family on Saturdays, you're talking about Caleb Williams, the USC quarterback.
You better get someone in here that can develop quarterbacks. Todd Bowles' record of developing quarterbacks drafted in the first or second round is 0-2.
Ira, sticking with Brady, so you said move on from Brady. That's what the sage says. I got it. I don't think you're alone, Ira. We're going to poll the fans once the emotion wears off. I understand what Lee's saying, which is he's probably the best option for next year. So, and I think that's...
I think those are two different questions.
Well, those are two different questions. So, you know, and so maybe you can address that. With Brady, I think you still have a window to get back to the playoffs and retool a little bit, maybe get lucky a little bit in the draft and get a spark from a new coordinator and win 10, 11 games and, you know, have a shot in the playoffs. So...
What shot?
It's a new team, Ira. It's a new team. What do you mean, what shot? Teams turn around every time. If I told you pick a team, I told you the Giants had a shot, you'd say, what shot? What are you talking about? So
Brady's not going to get any younger, and he's not going to get any faster next year. What's going to improve with Brady?
Well, you have.
Are you suggesting this division is a juggernaut, Ira?
Not a championship team, gentlemen.
Ira, I'll tell you. I'll answer your question. I'll tell you what would improve. I think you can take the running game from 32nd to 20th. I think you can do that. You can add a little bit of a spark with a new offensive coordinator. And you were in agreement, Ira, that it's not all, I agree with you. It's not all Leftwich's fault, but you agree that he was bad and he did a crappy job. So if you get a decent offensive coordinator and get a running game up to 20th, and we don't think the offensive line was horrible and you get Jensen back, why can't you win 10, 11 games and again, maybe pick some better cheap free agents than what Jason Light did this year? And if you get two big draft picks like they had in 2020, if you can score in the draft, which Jason Light really hasn't done lately, but if you can, like you did in 2020, you're right back.
You know how many ifs you just put in that sentence? It's about 9.
Too many people I respect have dissected the Bucks offense, and the common denominator is how piss poor they've been coached, how piss poor the game plans are, how piss poor the play calling is. It all comes from Leftwich. He can't hide behind the Arians anymore. And he couldn't. The Bucks knew it. Bye-bye. If they just get someone halfway decent in here, like Steve said, it wouldn't be a shock at all if they go from 32 to 20th. A little bit easier, you know, just game plan, just non-brain dead, just like third-grade level game planning, they could have beat the Steelers and the Browns.
They could have lost to the Rams. They could have lost to the Panthers.
Yeah, and they didn't. I wonder why that was.
By the same token. Lee, you're forgetting something very significant. Now, look, I'm not defending Byron Leftwich. He had to go, and he should have gone, and he's gone. I'm not defending that. However, Lee, you got to acknowledge, Tom Brady, let's not be naive. He had to have had significant input in this offense. And if he didn't, why didn't he? He's Tom Brady.
That's fair.
And, you know, so that's not, that would continue next year. Steve, I guess I'm trying to look at a big picture. I want this team to be a contender for 6, 8, 10 years, like the Bills, like the Bengals, like the Chiefs. And I don't see it. And they've never had a guy like that. They've just never had anybody. I want them to have it. I mean, Steve, they've been operating for 46 years. They've never had one.
I totally agree with you, Ira. As I said earlier, if you're talking about tanking for a quarterback, I'm driving that bandwagon, man. But that, like, once again, that also means Bowles can't have anything to do with that young quarterback. Nothing at all. Nothing.
Well,
can't be working in the building.
Lee, a year from now, Bowles is going to be on a very slender thread.
Yeah, he's going to be on hot seat. I agree with you.
Steve, unless he, you know, pulls out a 10-win season with who knows what at quarterback. But I don't want to fill in with the Derek Carrs of the world, the Mayfields, the Garoppolos. Steve, I don't think that's the way to go.
You know, the rookie quarterback situation is still a gamble, and you don't know what you're going to find and what you're going to get. And tanking isn't always so easy unless you are really willing to go in the toilet. And I don't think the Glazers are willing to do that indirectly for a couple of reasons that Lee mentioned. The money ties to Brady are huge. Now, I don't care about the money. The fans don't care about the money. It's meaningless. Just win. I agree with you completely. However, the Glazers have sold sponsorships to companies and, you know, with Tom Brady here, and they want those renewals, and they have multi-year deals that I'm sure there was implications that we're going to do everything we can to keep Brady here for as long as possible. So you better invest your $3 million. So I don't think the Glazers are prepared to just pull the plug, start from scratch and blow it up right now. I just don't think they would be against the Derek Carr type of quarterback who could legitimately be here for another few years. And you could turn around as quickly as anybody else in the NFC South if you do it right. I mean, teams do turn things around within a few years. So I don't know, but I don't think the Glazers are ready to blow it up and try to get the right quarterback in here with a defensive head coach at the helm. It's just messy as hell.
I'm into hunting championships. That's what I'm here for. And I think I speak for a lot of Buck Nation. Hunt championships with a realistic chance. You know, when the Bucks were in their glory days in the late 90s, early 2000s, they gave themselves a chance every year, and they finally cashed in 02. They did, mostly because they had one of the great defenses of the last 40 years. That's a top five defense of the last 40 years, the 2002 Bucks. That doesn't happen very often. What's more likely is you get yourself one of these quarterbacks. And believe me, gentlemen, the Glazers are salivating over guys like Allen, Mahomes, Burrow.
Because, oh, yeah.
Lee, the Bengals are going to be competitive for the next decade. That's just the way it is. Same with the Bills. Unless these guys get hurt, they're going to be in the mix. And I just don't feel the same way about Jimmy Garoppolo coming here. Lee, I had a line in my column. I need you to respond to this. It was a throwaway line, but I think it was important. They got old in a hurry.
I don't disagree with that. Yeah, I mean, I know the Glazers want that. And I'm not saying I don't want that either. You know, that's why I keep saying that they're going to tank, to quote John Harbaugh, 200% behind that. I am absolutely all for that. But there's ramifications with that, one of which is bye-bye Todd. And I'm not saying he should or shouldn't go, but I don't want that guy having anything to do with the young quarterback. Nothing. Absolutely nothing.
You know, and to amplify Lee's point, Steve, to be, you know, truthful, there's no guarantee that there's going to be a quarterback in the draft that's worth it, and there's no guarantee you're going to be able to get that spot. There's a lot of ifs involved, and you know, when if you go 5-12, there's a lot of ifs involved. We'll see what happens. I don't think this is a great quarterback draft, you know, compared to some other years. I just don't like treading water, Steve. I don't like the 8-10. I don't like the 9-8. I'm not interested in that. First round exits when you're not competitive in a playoff game. And I think it's time that people give Tom Brady a full, honest review. He had a mediocre season. He didn't have a bad season. He had a mediocre season, especially by Brady standards. And he just didn't look very good except for the Carolina game down the stretch. And he played poorly Monday night. He didn't have anything. He had no juice, Steve.
Absolutely, Ira. The challenge of the rebuild, you know, as we sit here in the wake of Byron Leftwich getting fired today officially, in the challenge of the rebuild, Ira, is Todd Bowles literally has spent 4 full years building this defense. And if you don't want Bowles to tear down his own defense that he built and is good and should be able to get better, then if you have a top 10 defense, there's a really great chance you're going to win 6 games. And then that's going to kill your chances at getting the quarterback that you want. So it's a very difficult spot for the Bucs if they really decided to tank. You're going to tell, hey, Todd, you built this defense. You're a defensive guy. We got to pull some plugs out of here. We're going to trade Devin White, gather up a pick. We're not going to re-sign Levante David. And just hang in there, buddy. It's asinine in a lot of ways. You might as well have fired Todd Bowles now. Go pay Sean Payton and go rebuild the team. You know, I don't know. It's a little wacky, Ira. It's a difficult spot for the Bucks, but I do have a little bit of breaking news, Ira. Breaking news. The long-awaited Big Storm Brewery Tap Room in Ybor City is days away. Days away.
So yeah.
Very exciting. I'm hoping that we can get our draft party out there. It's a big location. A lot of details will be coming, but it's a good time to follow Big Storm Brewing Company on Facebook, on Instagram. You follow each location, Big Storm Brewing Clearwater, Odessa, Cape Coral, Orlando at the Amway Center. They've got their menus and specials up there and live music and all sorts of things. Big Storm Beer is Florida's best craft beer. The Bromosa, the Tangerine IPA, it's in all the stores. And of course, you can get all kinds of Big Storm spirits at the tap rooms and so many beers. Find them all at bigstormbrewery.com. Sage, I want to...
Lee, that place is going to print money, Lee. They're going to print money over there.
Well, I know they're hiring. I retweeted one of their tweets about they were looking to fill a position, so they're hiring.
Ira, you'd be one hell of a host. Mater D right there, you know, put put that Shaq Barrett jersey on and you know, greet everybody. Sage, Monday's game. It's important as it relates to the head coach. Do you believe Todd Bowles had these guys ready to play? Todd Bowles praises the effort. He always praises the effort. Todd Bowles says they, and many players say they practice phenomenally well, and the practices were good. Did Bowles have them ready to play? Was he outcoached? And how do you rate Bowles in that big game, the first playoff game of his NFL head coaching career?
Any head coach in the National Football League, and I don't think I've ever heard it. Maybe Lee has. Any head coach after a game who starts questioning the effort of his players, that is a direct message to your owner to fire your head coach. They're not going to do that. Am I right, Lee? That goes to coaching, and that they will not do.
I don't know if I've ever heard that.
Instead, they'll talk about execution.
Yeah.
They'll talk about mental mistakes, focus,
that's a
whatever.
Great point. I never thought of that before. You're right, but I'm trying to think if I ever heard that before from an established coach. And I don't know if I ever did.
To Steve's point, I'll say it simply. Maybe I'm overstating it. There was nothing good about that game. Zero. I mean, absolutely zero. Nothing. The offense was really bad. The defense was even worse. I just can't believe how bad the defense was. Well, Dallas has a good offense, but they made Schultz look like, you know, Tony Gonzalez. I mean, let's not go crazy here. The naked bootleg, Lee, how could that happen? Nobody within a zip code. Yeah, touchdown going around the left side. Just awful. I expected a lot more from this defense because, hey, I threw away the Atlanta game. The regulars didn't play in the second half. Defense played pretty darn well against Carolina. Very well, as a matter of fact. Running defense wasn't very good. Pollard was effective.
And they put no pressure on Prescott. Very little.
None.
Or none. So now they're banking on Shaq Barrett to come back. Lee, you never know. You never know with a major injury.
Especially a guy who just turned 30.
Look at Saquon Barkley. It took him 2 years. Last year, Barkley wasn't very good. This year, he was back to his old form.
Well, look at O.J. Howard. He's never recovered.
Oh, boy. You're giving O.J. Howard an excuse?
No. But, I mean, he flashed before that injury. And, matter of fact, his last game with the Bucks before that injury, he looked pretty darn good. And he was a completely different player after that injury.
You know, what's Bull supposed to say? Now he's talking about the kicker. That opens up another avenue for this podcast.
Oh, yeah, that's scary.
I know Lee wants to weigh in on this. I was a little surprised Bowles wanted to get into that so specifically after a season when you average 18 points. And your kicker had a very good season, Lee. A very good season, suck up, you know, to kind of point him out. Guys, they got to get Mike Evans back as a weapon. It was a big problem this year. Maybe another quarterback can do it, maybe not. Maybe if the line's better. Now we don't know about Donovan Smith. I mean, there's not too many sure things around this franchise. And I'll say it right now. I don't want to dwell on it, but Jason Light, if you're listening, we respect you. We like you. But you didn't have a particularly good offseason. You just did. Maybe it'll change. Maybe these rookies will emerge, Lee, in year two. But as far as year one, not much juice from that draft. Not much.
If Brady does come back, I think they have to proceed with caution on his recommendations of free agents. He was dynamite the first year with his recommendations. Antonio Brown, Gronkowski, of course. And last year, Russell Gage. And, you know, I'm happy to hear he's doing okay. But for $10 million, he didn't have anywhere close to the impact that he was signed for. Kyle Rudolph, he finally caught one pass at the end of the season, a touchdown. Otherwise, you didn't even know the guy was on the roster.
Julio Jones, throw him in there. Yep.
Yeah, but you know what? I didn't expect a whole lot from Julio because he hasn't done much the last couple of years because of his injuries. So he was about what I thought he would be, unfortunately. But yeah, he's over the hill. So if Brady comes back next year, they got to be cautious about his. Unless the guy has like an absolutely no doubt about it established player like Antonio Brown. I know he's a nutcase, but physically he was gifted. And Gronk, who could argue with that? Unless it's a no doubter, I would like hesitate to follow Brady's advice about free agents. Just think about this, how they could have spent that $10 million that they got on Gage. They could have kept Kappa, which means they wouldn't have to trade for Shaq Barrett. It was sort of a Lovie Smith kind of thing, or Mark Domina kind of thing. More Lovie Smith. When he went out and signed these awful free agents. Who was the cornerback from UCLA?
Altron Verner.
They had an opening there. They went out and got Altron Verner. Not only did you throw away money, but you still have that hole you have to fix. And then other holes pop up, but you don't have the dirt to fill the holes because you spent all that dirt on filling a hole with Altron Verner. No more Brady as far as, Mr. Don't have him play GM anymore. Don't have him play GM anymore.
The guy who's not playing GM anymore is Bruce Arians, because the guys he recommended, they pulled the plug, Ira, and there's a lot of change going on, and we're going to talk about that. As far as the game, Sage, I guess there's not too much more to add other than the upside of the game was Ryan Jensen going the distance with all those snaps, being able to pull that off, which is just stunning. And he revealed after the game, he had tore his ACL, MCL, PCL. He had a kneecap issue and a broken bone. And thankfully, he found a doctor who said, no surgery. You can do this. Give me 2 months. We'll see where we are. But I think you can do this. And he did. So tremendous effort, but it bodes very well for next season because he'll be back and there's no reason to think he'd be unable to go or have to have surgery. Again, I asked Jensen after the game if he is expecting to have some form of offseason surgery. He said no. That's a huge deal for whoever the next quarterback is because they're going to have a Pro Bowl center returning, and obviously he's an incredibly motivated guy. Nobody would have looked twice at Jensen if he didn't play this season and just sort of mailed it in, but he was there every day. you know, super devoted and really a tremendous effort there. Very exciting going forward on that front.
You're right, Steve. Possibly the only bright spot from Monday night. Give him a lot of credit, Lee.
Yeah.
Lee, you're in that locker room a lot. I don't think it's a stretch to say he's almost like a beloved figure, Jensen, in the Buck locker room. He is. He is the tone setter up front. He's not as good a player as Tristan Wirfs on his best day, but he is the tone setter, the physicality, you know, embodiment sort of up front. To me, I look at Wirfs as like, you know, he's a great combination of physicality, but I always look at him with the technique. Flawless technique, which is unbelievable for a guy his age. When I look at Jensen, it's like nasty. I'm going to do whatever it takes to protect my quarterback and open some holes. And Steve's right. That bowls well for next season. Jensen's not going anywhere.
Two quick ones on Jensen, Ira. You talk about tone setter. I guess you saw what he did to Micah Parsons. Micah Parsons was trying to intimidate the Bucks.
Yeah.
It didn't go over too well with Jensen, and Jensen took care of it. I don't know if that would have happened if Haynes was in there or if Leverett was in there, but Jensen's in there? That was the wrong move.
Sage, the right move is calling Florida's Elite Restoration. Anytime you have a disaster in your business or in your home, mold, fire, flood, storm damage, whatever it might be, you call them immediately, 24/7. They're going to come out and give you a free assessment of what's happening in your property, what you need to do, how to make it right, how to handle your insurance company. If that's what it takes, they'll do it for you. Florida's Elite Restoration, they're experts, they're mold remediation specialists, licensed to do that. Not everybody is. And owner Josh Martin is fantastic. He spent 14 years as an insurance adjuster on the other side, so he knows how to work with insurance companies and to make sure your property gets fixed right without your money, with the insurance company's money. Florida's Elite Restoration, again, storm damage, flood happens in your home all the time. It happens in Florida, pipes break. It's a nightmare. That's why you have companies like Florida's Elite Restoration, but they are the best, family owned, and give them a call. Anytime you have a problem, they'll respond quickly, if not immediately. And they're online, floridaselite restoration.com. Learn about them, bookmark it, and then you know where to go, floridaselite restoration.com. Oh, almost forgot, Florida's Elite Restoration has $500 for Joe Bucks fan readers, Ira Kaufman listeners. All you got to do when you call them, let them know you heard about it from Ira Kaufman, Joe Bucks fan. And after your free assessment, if you move forward with an agreement with them, you'll get $500 back.
You know, earlier, you know, Steve said, why couldn't you turn this team around overnight? Because you can go from 32 to 20 in running. Well, the Bucks rushed for 3.4 yards this year, worse than the NFL. Granted, as the stat geeks love to say, small sample size with Jensen in the lineup. And as a playoff game, so it wasn't like they were playing the Panthers or the Browns schlock like that. Against the Cowboys and Micah Parsons, with Jensen starting, 4.3 yards to carry.
It was at least small sample size. I think it was 12 runs, which is amazing because they had 78 snaps, Steve. 12 runs, 78 snaps. Do the math. Only one player in the history of the National Football League has ever thrown more passes in a playoff game than Tom Brady just did. That was Ben Roethlisberger in a loss, of course, to Cleveland. I think Baker Mayfield started that game for the Browns, Steve, if I'm not wrong. I believe he did. So, Steve, I want to just get back to what I was saying again about these meetings. Make one more point as strong as I can. Light sitting around a table, a couple of glazers, maybe more. Bowles, Spytek, and maybe a couple other people, Greenberg. And, Steve, I don't care if they're doing it One Buck Place. I don't care if they're doing it at Fleming Steakhouse. I don't care. What I do care about is they have to be brutally honest with each other about where this franchise is. That's all I'm saying. Sometimes you're at the end of your run. The Glazers thought that way in 09. I think they were right. It was the end of a run. They weren't going anywhere in 09 with Gruden and that group. That was an old team. And they made a decision. Now, you know, ultimately they ended up with Josh Freeman, and that looked very goodly for a year.
For a year until they melted down.
And then he melted down, and he turned out to be the wrong guy. And Winston turned out to be the wrong guy. But, Steve, you can't try to pretty things up that aren't there. Now, you think the roster is a little better than I think it is. I don't think it's a terrible roster. but I don't think it's a winning roster in terms of a championship. A championship. And if it's not, and it's the oldest roster in the league and you're slow, sometimes, Lee, sometimes as painful as it is, you got to take a step back to go forward. That's all I'm saying.
Once again, I don't disagree, Ira, but I don't see the benefit of that this year, especially when you factor in...
Lee, you're assuming that Brady wants to come back. Well, what if he doesn't?
Well, I'm assuming that because right now nobody knows.
Right.
Now, if Brady says, I'm not coming back, okay, the door's closed. What can you do? And like I said, I'm all for tanking. Tanking is good. Tanking is good. How many teams have won the World Series because they tanked? Tanking is good. And I'll lead that bandwagon. But once again, Todd Bowles cannot have anything to do with their young quarterback. Nothing. I like Todd. Don't want to see him lose his job. But if the organization decides we got to go get a quarterback, Todd Bowles cannot be that man's coach. Period.
What if he hires a dynamic offensive coordinator, Lee?
Todd Bowles cannot be part of any quarterback's development at all. I don't give a damn who you can't bring in as an offense coordinator. He cannot be part of it. He's already 0-2. I don't want to give him the opportunity to be 0-3. I like Todd. I want him to have success there. But if they're going to develop a young quarterback, he cannot be part of that.
Sage, I think going back to what you were saying about the Glazers and that time of restructuring, I think the X factor, though, is the division. You had the Falcons with Matt Ryan coming off an excellent rookie year, and they were an 11-12 win team. The Saints were rolling and a recent Super Bowl winner. I'm sure the Glazers looked at the division and said, our only hope is to try to land that long-term quarterback right now and retool this thing. I believe that. So now, though, their only hope is not necessarily that, because they do have a lot of Pro Bowl core pieces on the team. They didn't have that in 2008. They had a bunch of old guys, but they didn't have true Pro Bowlers in their prime, and the division sucks. So I think it's a different animal.
There's some truth to that, Steve. There is. Lee, if Brady comes back, the Bucs would certainly be favored to win the NFC South. If Brady doesn't come back, and they do a bridge quarterback like a Carr or a Garoppolo or even a Mayfield, I think they'd be favored there because of the quarterback situation. So Steve makes some good points. I'm just stressing, you know, honesty in assessing what you got, their ages, are they in the prime, are they past their prime. I walked away, Lee, Monday night thinking it's kind of the end of a cycle. That was my feeling. Maybe they can prove me wrong.
You know, I didn't have that feel to it. I'm just surprised that a gentleman like you, who about a year ago was pretty adamant that Kyle Trask is not the future because the Glazers finally got a taste of what that star-studded international star quarterback is like, and they don't want to go back to schlock for quarterback. And now you're basically saying, hey, let's go get some reject and have him be a quarterback.
Well, Lee, what changed was the team around Brady. I was assuming Brady would go out on top, you know, with a 13-4 season, a fairly deep playoff run, and then he walks away. And then at that point, Lee, I'm thinking I got a hell of a roster. I'm not going to let it go to pot. That's not the case anymore. The Bucs showed their colors. They're an 8-10 football team, Steve, with a minus 60 or 70 point differential. I mean, think about that. 60 or 70 minus. That's a bad football team. You got to face facts.
Yeah, I agree with you, Ira. It's a bad team. And the reality is, if they evaluate Tom Brady to having a subpar season and it's hard to believe that he has 2 years left, then I get it. I totally get it. You know, won't feel good. It probably won't look that great, but I get it. I mean, there is an end of the line here for Brady. And if this is an end of an era, it's an end of an era, but they're going to try to get him back.
Lee, I got to ask you this question, and I think you're enough of a realist. Lee, with all the things about Leftwich aside and the coaching aside, Lee, can I get an acknowledgement from you that Brady's play, specifically Brady's play, slipped last season?
Oh, of course. Statistically, there's no doubt about it, but I can't just dismiss the rotten coaching he got.
Can't both things be true?
But that rotten coach and the players slipped?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Never, ever underestimate how much bad coaching can drag down a team.
Steve, I want to get back to something you mentioned a couple of minutes ago. You mentioned Bruce Arians, and I've been thinking about Bruce Arians in the wake of this season. And let's put it very bluntly, guys, it was a nightmare for Bruce Arians. Yeah. I mean, a freaking nightmare. His chosen successor went 8-10 with Tom Brady. That's a fact. The guy that he wanted to land a job as a head coach, Byron Leftwich, imploded. His reputation's in tatters. Can't get an interview. Certainly, there's no chance he's going to be a head coach in 2023. Might be a quarterback coach. He won't be a coordinator. Arians saw this happen right before his eyes, Lee. Not to mention, you know, he had a health scare in the middle of the season. What a tough year for Arians, Lee.
That had to be killing him watching these games and seeing, you know, one of his best friends and one of his favorite proteges just, you know, fall off the map just about. Maybe I shouldn't be surprised, but I very much was. You know, after the season, the day after, 2 days after, virtually everyone, I can't virtually, not everyone, you know, I was overstating things, but so many people I came into contact with, and it was almost all the same question. When are the Bucs firing Todd Bowles? Well, wait a minute, he just had his first year. He didn't get a chance to hire his assistants, which is a major thing, by the way. Major, major, major thing. And I know it drives Steve nuts, but it is a major thing.
No, you ended up being right about that, Lee. You ended up being right about that.
And I didn't understand where this bloodlust was. Yeah, he had a losing season with Brady. But as we all know, the Glazers have never fired a coach after 1 year. Forget about a coach making the playoffs. Not, by the way, you know, hook or crook, he made the playoffs. He was in there Monday night. He made the Glazers money. Where does this come from? This got to get rid of Bowles now. Got to get rid of Bowles now. And I'm like, my God. And it seems like this is carried over from the way the Bucs season ended last year. A lot of people blamed it on Bowles, how they gave up that long pass to Cooper Kupp. And maybe this is a carryover. People hold that against him. And then you throw on this year on top of that. It's like, what are the Glazers doing here with this guy?
That's a hell of a point, Lee. I didn't even think about that. The way the season ended with the Cooper Kupp catch and the lousy coverage on that play, I didn't even think about that. But you're right. That was the number one takeaway, Steve. When the season ended in 2021, people were screaming about Bowles. What the hell are you doing? You're such a, defensive guru. And, it was a horrible ending. What are you doing? They looked disorganized. They weren't ready for that play. You should have went into overtime, then see what happens. You lose in overtime, that's different. But you don't lose like that. I didn't think of that, but Lee's right. I mean, the whole scene was set for some question about Bowles and then to go 8-10. And Lee, to be fair, he's the head coach, and the head coach is going to take the heat and should.
Yes, sure, you're right.
But, Steve, I think you also have to make the point that from about the midseason on, I thought the bulk of the wrath was directed towards Leftwich rather than Bowles. Mm-hmm. I think the whole thing changed in about the middle of the year, Steve, when obviously it became apparent that this was a lousy offense with Brady taking every snap. Mike Evans out there, Godwin out there, Fournette out there. They can't score any points. From that moment on, it was all about Leftwich, I think, Steve.
Well, to answer Lee's question about the bloodlust, I mean, I think it's an easy explanation because he did a crappy job this season. He wasn't able to step across the line, if you will, to the offense and manage change to fix it. He couldn't do it. It was in front of everybody's face in October, in November, and December. He failed at managing that to do it. I asked him on Monday about his hand in the offense. Did you feel you had the influence on the offense you wanted this season? And he basically said, well, when it, 4 years with the same offensive coaches, they were kind of set in their ways. And, you don't just go in and change things like that. And, it was a ridiculous answer. If it's not working, you change it. It was mind boggling. So the bloodlust there, I think, is justified because he failed and he had talent. And he's a second time head coach. Second time head coaches are supposed to hit the ground running with talent. They're not supposed to stumble and look bad and have
like Doug Peterson.
Yeah, like Doug Peterson, or it doesn't matter who it is. I mean, they're supposed to do that. Number two, I think the biggest answer is every fan or most fans, I'll say 9 out of 10 fans, look at Todd Bowles and say, you can't win a Super Bowl with that guy. And if you can't win a Super Bowl with that guy, what is he doing here? And that's really, I think, what it comes back to. Nobody looks at Todd Bowles as a winner. And I just think it's that's where it all stems from with the fans. And especially when you're entering an era now where you need to probably need to develop a quarterback. He's not an offensive guy in an offensive league. He didn't perform well. So I think most fans are just being realistic. What are you hanging on to? I don't know. I can't answer what you're hanging on to either. Can't do it.
And what Steve was describing, he's accurate. You know, Todd Bowles' handoff approach to the offense, this sort of reminds me a little bit of Cutter, Kirk Cutter. Mike Smith was barfing all over the field. He was so awful. Cutter, we asked Cutter more than once, like, aren't you going to try to do something with that defense? Can you have some input? And his response was always like, you know, you don't want me giving input on defense. No. And what Steve describes sort of sounds like Cutter, only, you know, obviously Cutter was an offensive guy, Bowles is a defensive guy.
I think a lot of coaches are very hesitant. They're reluctant to interfere, so to speak, and flex their muscles on the other side of the ball that they're not supposed to be their expertise. Sort of like, I hired this guy to do a job, and I'm going to let him do a job. But I kind of like Steve's point. Middle of the season, things aren't working. The same thing happened with Cutter and Mike Smith. It wasn't happening. It wasn't getting any better. In fact, it was getting worse. This offense this year wasn't getting any better. And at some point, Steve, it is incumbent on you as the head guy. And of course, the Glazers are watching all this. Sometimes the only time those changes are made is when ownership steps in and demands it. And that's the only time that the coach makes a move. Otherwise, they're going to let this let it play out. Let it play out at their own peril, Steve. At their own peril, because usually it doesn't get any better and it backfires. Guys, I want to mention one thing about the offensive coordinator position, which is now vacant. Lee, Todd Monken's name is being mentioned quite a bit. He had a successful stint here under Cutter. Lee, he spent 1 year in Cleveland and it didn't work. The Browns had a bad season. Their offense wasn't good. So in that sense, Monken had an unsuccessful 1 year stint with Mayfield. Lee, I'll say this about Monken. I like the guy. I think he's got a lot of good ideas. I think he's innovative. And I think he wants to get back in the NFL, Lee, most importantly. I do.
I know he hates recruiting.
And he's got a heck of a resume right now, bouncing off these last 2 years, even though it is college and now you're pros. But he's proven himself to be more than competent in the pros. Lee, I'll say this one thing about trying to put myself in Monken's mind. I think I might have several options, more than one. And I think what's very important, Lee, in him getting back in the NFL, because he's had a topsy-turvy, transient career in the NFL, Lee, you got to look at the head coach situation.
Absolutely.
And you have to assess it in your own mind whether it's stable. It has to be stable. And I mean, more than a one-year deal, realistically. How long is this guy going to be there? So, guys, I think that's what Todd Monken is thinking about as much as he's thinking about what's the personnel that I'm going to have to work with. It's like, I got to have a stable head coach. Otherwise, I could be out on my ass again.
Well, it's very interesting you say that, Ira, because I basically wrote the same thing when Rappaport came out and said, look out for Todd Monken. Just last week, Todd Monken had said, about getting another job. He said, he goes, the grass isn't greener on the other side of the fence. And we've heard that before, but he actually said that. And he said, you can't just flip jobs to flip jobs. Yeah, money's important. And basically he said, you want stability. You want a good situation. And I'm looking at the Bucks, and this applies to anybody, not just Todd Monken. If you're a potential offensive coordinator or one of the other positions that need to be filled, and you're looking at the Bucks in an abstract sense, you got to believe Todd Bowles is on the hot seat next year. You have to believe that. I mean, how could you not believe that? And if you look at the Glazers' history, two losing seasons, out you go. So how stable is this? And the only way I can see Monken coming here is if Light or Bowles, or even the Glazers for that matter, said, we promise we'll draft a quarterback in the first round. And by that, it would buy Monken 3 years.
I think based on the Glazers' history, Lee, that Monken would say, hey, you know what? If I do a good job, Todd's out of here next year and I'm probably in line. he'd be in line for the Bucks job. If Bowles has a second bad year, hey, they'll probably oust him and push me in there just like they did Dirk Cutter when I was here in 2016. So I think he might lean more toward, hey, this opportunity is good no matter how you cut it.
Yeah, you could look at it like that, Steve. You could. He might be in position to be a head coach right here. He might.
Yeah, you would think so. I mean, if he does a good job, you know, why wouldn't he be? At the very least, it would set him up for somewhere else and have a guaranteed contract, because you know that they'd give him a 2 or 3 year deal. He's not coming here after all that success without probably a 3 year contract, at least 2 years for sure.
The only place he has been where he didn't have success, the only place, was Cleveland.
BillCurryFord.com. Thank you. Shop there now. BillCurryFord.com. 0% financing is flowing, as is the Ira Kaufman discount. Florida's EliteRestoration.com. Like we heard before, that's who you put in your favorites, in your phone, you know, on your laptop. Check them out. And you know that's who to trust when you have a disaster in your home. Your first phone call, Florida's Elite Restoration. Big Storm Beer, the official beer of the Ira Kaufman podcast. Follow them on social media so you know what's going on at the tap rooms. Always a lot of fun stuff. And, of course, plenty of great beer and food. Ira, the coaching firings, the position coaches, the O-line coaches remain. Joe Gilbert, who handles the tackles. Harold Goodwin, assistant head coach, run game coordinator. And he handles the inside linemen, the interior linemen. They stay, but Todd McNair, running backs coach, gone. And you've got Laurie Locust, assistant D-line coach, gone. The receivers coach, Kevin Garver, gone. Outside linebackers coach retired. Clyde Christensen retired. Yeah, that's the bulk of it there, Sage, in addition to Leftwich. Your thoughts on any of those?
Bowles has the right to put his stamp on this team. Lee's been talking about this all season. I didn't back Lee up enough because Lee was saying you got to factor in when Bowles got the job and he didn't get to pick his own staff and he probably had other people in mind. And it turns out that the Kemper's right. He's probably been thinking about these changes since October when he saw that this team was underachieving. I'll say this, Christensen, quote, retired. I would not be shocked if he landed with another team as a quarterback coach and only retired. I think he'll do with Tom Brady. That's my first prediction. We'll see where he lands. I don't know. I'm a little surprised that Todd McNair, I mean, I thought he did an okay job with Rashad White. I'm not blaming Todd McNair for poor run blocking. You know, Fournette did not finish the season strong. But again, I'm not going to blame McNair for Brady throwing on two of every three snaps. I could just hear Lee saying, now, wait a minute, Ira. The reason you do that is because your run game stinks. Your run game stinks. If your run game didn't stink, you wouldn't be throwing the ball 45 times. Well, there's something to be said for that too, Lee. I'm not shocked that some of these I thought Goodwin might have to fall on his sword. I'm a little surprised there. But you notice, Lee, the great bulk of the firings happen on the offensive side of the ball. Nobody's surprised about that. We'll see how he has to have replacements in mind, I think, for the last few weeks, Lee. He doesn't wake up Tuesday morning and say, who the hell are we going to get, you know, for to coach the receivers and the running backs. He's got names in mind. Lee, he's been in this league a long time. He's been a player. He's been a assistant coach. We will see how Bowles does with his own regime. Of course, you can have all the coaching you want. If you don't have the right trigger man, you're probably not going to succeed. But Lee, at least he gets his chance to build his own staff. I think ultimately, Lee, that was the downfall of Dirk Cutter. I think you'd agree with me. Lee's a pretty good coach. His staff wasn't very good, especially on defense.
What? Yeah.
And ultimately, he paid the price. Same thing's going to happen to Bowles if he doesn't make good hires. So nothing shocked me, Lee, but I think Christensen will be back.
A couple of moves did. I'll butcher the guy's last name. I'm not really sure of the pronunciation. But the kicking coach, Chris Bonial, that's shocking because their kicking game might be the best element of the game. I mean, Suckup is damn good as long as you don't ask him to kick long field goals. Oh, by the way, he won a Super Bowl ring. He wasn't kicking 50-yard field goals. He's been the best kicker they've had since Matt Ryan. So that spooks me. The punter, my gosh, you could argue right now, I don't know if this is good or bad, you can argue right now, Jason Light's best draft pick this spring is Matt Camarda.
Jake Camarda.
I'm sorry. Yeah. You could make that argument.
Keith Armstrong lives another day, gentlemen. Lives another day so far.
Yeah. You know, the Bob Sanders thing was a little surprising, only because, you know, I spoke with someone this summer, and this guy was over the moon raving about Bob Sanders. Oh, my gosh, he's so good. You're going to see an improvement, blah, blah, blah. This guy kept going on and on and on about Bob Sanders. And then, you know, I wrote this story, you know, toward, you know, a couple of days ago that Joe Tryon had the same amount of sacks as he had as a rookie. That's not great. And I asked Todd Bowles at his press conference, like, hey, you know, we don't know what's going to happen with Shaq, and the jury's still out on Joe Tryon. Are you going to be adding an outside linebacker this offseason? And he said, Bowles flat out said, they need more sacks in the outside linebacker position. So the way a person within the organization absolutely waved up and down about Bob Sanders, that kind of surprised me.
All right, Sage, I'm already started drinking here after you called Dirk Cutter a pretty good head coach. I don't know what a guy has to do to suck in your eyes, Ira, but in my mind, he was terrible. Back-to-back 5-18s, get out of here. I don't know.
Who was that Jags coach he loved so much, Ira, that I think had the worst winning percentage in Pearl Harbor? Gus Bradley.
Oh, Gus Bradley. Yeah. Bad coach.
I'll let you say goodbye on this. If Todd Bowles had been fired like so many fans wanted on Monday night, let's say the Glazers marched in on Tuesday morning and said, Todd, you're out. Would he be a candidate for any other team in the National Football League?
Absolutely would, as a defensive coordinator.
Thank you.